From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
It's just a very dangerous development. They say that our mass media interfered, but it is not so.
That was Russia's President Vladimir Putin at a press conference at the APEC summit in Da Nang, Vietnam, this past weekend. He was referring to the recent demand by the U.S. Justice Department that the Russian media outlet RT register as a foreign agent.
Mass media, they just express their point of view, they give information, they give opinions. You can argue about that, but you should not be closing or banning or creating the condition which prevents some mass media from working at all. You should produce your point. You should make your case. But no, they decided to ban and to impose sanctions.
The demand was made under the U.S. Foreign Agents Registration Act, or FARA, passed in 1938, targeting Nazi Germany. Washington had threatened to freeze RT's assets if it failed to comply. RT's editor-in-chief, Margarita Simonian, said the broadcaster would go to court to prove that the demand violated U.S. law. However, on Monday, she said, between legal action and registration, we chose the latter. The measures targeting RT have drawn criticism not only in Russia and elsewhere around the world, but also right here in the U.S. Last year's vice presidential candidate for the Green Party, Ajamu Baraka, slammed the move as outrageous. He noted that singling out RT, the only media organization on the FARA list, not only implies that it is somehow different from BBC and Deutsche Welle and other state-funded media, but also somehow qualitatively different from U.S. corporate-owned media. Baraka said that the U.S. mainstream media, including CNN, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, should be required to register as agents of capitalism. The Washington Post is owned by Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos, the New York Times by the Oakes-Sulzberger family, and CNN by the multinational giant corporation Time Warner. For more on that, we spoke with Peter Lavelle, who's an American living in Moscow, who hosts RT's flagship program, Crosstalk. We spoke with him via Skype from Moscow Sunday. Well, Peter, let's see. We had the Hollywood 10 back in the early 1950s. It looks like they're traveling down the same road. Of course, we have, you know, a new media environment, new technologies, new methodology of communicating, much more intensive state control of the media in terms of the physical apparatus, like the internet being stored in Utah or whatever. So how does it look? You know, you're an American who produces a TV show in Moscow for a Russian new international, you know, a Russian-owned international news agency. What does it look like to you?
Well, I think this is truly, truly tragic. And in my opinion, and I don't speak for RT management, but in my opinion, RT is being turned into a test. And it's a test that no one will protect RT's right of speech. I don't see the American Civil Liberties Union. You know, they let Nazis march in Stokely, Illinois.
But I remember
that. I haven't heard a peep from them to stand up for freedom of expression from foreign broadcasters. And I look at it, and I think you look at it, as a foreign broadcaster. Well, number one, American powers that be do not like it when Americans hear foreign broadcasters, up and in including BBC. You don't get BBC really very much in the U.S., okay? Not to speak of Press TV or Al Jazeera, you know, they sold their soul. So they had some kind of presence, but then no one watched it because they were emulating CNN.
Right.
So I think that RT is a test, and then it's going to be let me back up. Look how complicit that Twitter and YouTube and Google in all of this. And you know what? When RT, whatever its fate is, and I'm not optimistic in my opinion in the U.S., then they're going to take on social media. The powers that be and legacy media find this environment abhorrent. They can't make any money, number one, and they can't control the narrative number two. That's their worst nightmare. And I truly believe they're going to start trying to claw it back. And I'm thinking of websites like 21st Century, 21st Century News.com, Moon of Alabama, to some degree, the American Conservative, Oons.com, and we could go on and on. Consortium News. These are where I get the truth as I understand it. And this attack on RT is unprecedented. It is using the FARA Act has never been used against a media outlet. And so that, they're breaking precedent there. And I don't even think that they will follow the law. I will so be so bold to say, look, they illegally took over the Russian compound in San Francisco, illegally, under international law and under domestic law. Not a peep from anyone. No one said what is right and what is legal. And I'll leave off on this. I haven't seen in any way, shape, or form that RT has broken any laws in the United States.
I don't think anyone's even accused them of that.
Any FEC laws have been broken. I'm sorry, FCC laws have been broken at all. I'd like to know what they are. And I hear that RT is called a propagandist, and I'm a propagandist. Well, call RT and call me on it. Give me one example. One. And all of the stuff, all of the nonsense that is said about RT, written about RT, no one ever mentions examples. Never. It's right. Astounding to me.
Yeah, they don't, you know, they don't do that in
there's a
anything.
Conspiracy without a crime here.
Yeah, that's
a conspiracy
right.
Conspiracy without a crime.
That's right. Well, first of all, you mentioned the silence from such as the ACLU. Let's go back to the early 1950s. You know, I live in Austining, New York, and in Austining, New York, there was a diner called the Highland Diner for many years, owned by the family of a gentleman named Corliss Lamont. Corliss Lamont was a board member of the ACLU who resigned because the ACLU would not represent defendants who were brought up under what was called the Smith Act until the appellate stage, because they did not want their identity to be confused with communists. And so they let communists, that was anyone that was accused of being a communist, go through trial, be in prison, all of that, without lifting a finger or raising a voice until it was time to file maybe an amicus curiae brief on a particular point of law at the appellate stage. So, you know, there's a history of some of these big groups that claim to be defenders of human rights and civil rights sitting on their hands when there's actually a fight that matters. And you talk about state media or propaganda. Okay, we've got BBC here, now, which is on cable. It's on my, if I go upstairs on my cable set, on basic cable, I have BBC, I have I-24, which is an Israeli TV channel, and there's an Indian state TV channel. These are all state and or in Israel, for example, like the United States, it's difficult to parse what's private and what state because you have the same people own.
I think it's important. I think the right appellation is funded.
Right.
Okay. Because let me explain to our listeners here, working at RT for about 12 years now, I have never been to an editorial meeting.
Right.
I don't even know if they exist. Okay, I'm in the programming department. I'm not in the news department. I've never been to an editorial meeting about, you know, what our message is, like Zucker over at CNN. You know, I mean, that was leaked a few days ago, go after Donna Brazile. Right. I mean, I guess that's what they do at CNN. I've never been to an editorial meeting where we get talking points. My hand on a stack of Bibles has never happened to me.
Yeah, they point a camera at you and you start, just go for it. I know. That's what we do.
You know me well enough. I just, you know, the first thing that comes in my mind.
Right.
So I think it's better to say state funded. And for our listeners to understand, the vast majority of television all around the world has some kind of government funding.
Right.
The vast majority of broadcasts around the world. Americans are so they're so inward looking that maybe, yes, a lot of broadcasters in the United States are private, but that's an anomaly in the world.
And let's also talk about what that let's talk about what that means, by the way, too. Here in the United States, you have PBS and NPR. Now, they are not publicly funded anymore. They get all kinds of money from, you know, we call NPR National Petroleum Radio because they get money from ExxonMobil and all these other places. And the same with PBS. But, you know, where you have or had public housing, public water supplies, public utilities, you had public funded media. And that's what government, quote unquote, owned media or government funded media is the government says, here, we're funding a TV station. We bought the equipment. We hired some staff. Go make television. Now, what are the rules that govern the operation of it? That's the devil in the details, and that varies from place to place, whether it's government or corporate owned. Now, where it's government owned, you usually have some sort of access restrictions that operate in favor of the public, like they used to have here with an equal time rule, for example, things like that. And when it's privately owned, they can do anything they want in the name of freedom of speech. They own it. They can say what they want. They can run it how they want. So the idea that government-funded media is a propaganda mill for the government as opposed to private media, meaning corporate media, meaning ExxonMobil and Chase and all that stuff, somehow is more free speech is ridiculous.
Well, public and private, even that distinction is really nonsensical or not meaningful anymore because we have the example of Fox News. Now, Fox Right. News is obviously ideologically driven. And it's and look at MSNBC. I have a respect for both because they show their colors to everyone. Okay, one's very, very progressive left and one's very conservative. Okay, that is fine. You know what you're going to get. CNN is they try to play this game with everyone that they're actually the fair and balanced one. No, they're very much off to the left. But, you know, if you look at RT, even the distinctions of left and right are important because RT America is very left-wing progressive. And I know the powers that be don't like that, okay? I mean, progressives are being hunted. It's hunting season for progressives in the United States, particularly in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And then if you go to RT International, if you look at the programs, I'm the only one that has any kind of where you can clearly identify ideological point of view, and I'm quite conservative on most issues. But if you look at the totality in the English language of RT, it's a majority left progressive. I mean, during the campaign, I called RT America, you know, Bernie Bros.
Right.
Okay?
Because right.
It was almost without exception.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, what people are what they think they know about RT. I mean, I have to, in all honesty, have to wonder all of my critics personally and critics of RT, have they ever watched the channel?
Yeah.
Because I don't understand what they're talking about. It's talking about another place that I don't work.
You know, not only that, when they did the analysis or whatever the hell that document was, that the CIA and
the January one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they, you know, here's the blueprint for how the Russians stole the election or whatever, then the chapter under RT, it was clear that they haven't watched in like 5 years because they had at the heart of the matter Abby Martin, who hadn't been with the station for 2-3 years at that point, and a couple of others that I never watched myself. Crosstalk, not there. The most watched program on RT, from looking at the hits on YouTube. If I were going to challenge, and now people have been discussing this, CIA or whatever, if I were going to say this is how they influenced the election, the main way, which isn't how it happened, looking at the vote counts, but they let the other candidates debate, which no other media outlet in the United States would do, having the Greens and the Libertarians, and et cetera, do a presidential debate. Now, as it turns out, there was a minuscule vote for them for in the aggregate. So it clearly didn't have any impact on the election. But in terms of the political culture, it gave expression to other voices, which is what alternative media is supposed to do, and which the alternative media, quote unquote, in the U.S. did not do.
Exactly. And what RT did was pick fill in a niche that people were interested in. I have a lot of very conservative views, but I'm thrilled to talk with progressives because that means there's a debate. Duopoly of American political power.
Right.
I mean, all we see in the airwaves in the United States is it's trivialization of real debate on what really impacts real people every single day. They go to the, into these cultural wars that just chew up all this time and suck all the air out of the room. And, you know, and when somebody talks about fracking, which, you know, that's verboten, you know, and then RT runs something on fracking. And it's like, we're like a thunderbolt. I mean, yeah. No, actually, public opinion show that there is concern about fracking. There are many, many Americans. I don't have the number on my fingertips right now, but I think it's almost 2/3 of Americans that would like to have a more balanced field, playing field for other parties. I mean, well, RT is providing a service. It's following an agenda. It's not creating an agenda.
Right. Well, for example, reporting things that are not getting reported anywhere else. Ajamu Baraka, a vice presidential candidate, also, you know, he is a contributor to one of the most prominent black media outlets in the United States, blackagendareport.com. He's a regular columnist there. He says, tosses into this discussion, CNN should register as an agent of capitalism. And as a matter of fact, I would say, if you were going to be absolutely accurate and to the point, they should register as an agent of the corporations that fund it by looking at their ad revenue. And that, because, hey, you have to declare what we used to have to declare, how much money you put into presidential campaigns for advertising purchases and all this other stuff. Well, if you're absolutely making editorial policy that favors candidates, that frames the damn commercials that are airing, that should also be noted so people can make up their minds about what they're hearing. And that's what he's pointing out.
Well, of course, in a purely theoretical sense, he's correct. Everyone should be forced to show where they're getting their funding from, even if it's a corporate television.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't believe the powers that be really will go down that path, because that would be a recognition that they have a monopoly of power and that they do not want any challengers.
Right.
And that's exactly what we are. I mean, I am and you are in our own different ways. And because they have this propensity to break law around the world, I think this is really another tangent that's really important, is that we have forced regime change all around the world illegally with American taxpayer money. Most Americans don't even know it's being done in their name. And now they're taking the same model, the Maidan model of the illegal coup in Kiev in February 2014, and they're applying it at home. They're using that playbook at home. It's come home, where you have the FBI and other intelligence services that are politicized, that are partisan. You know, Don, when it goes to that point there, it's the end of the republic.
Yeah.
It's the end of the republic.
Yeah.
Because once you go down that path, these people are entrenched. They're not going to give up their power. They will find ways to go after you. 10 ways to Sunday. Okay. Mm. And this is the real tragedy right now, because one candidate didn't get elected and everybody wanted that candidate to win. Now you're going to break the entire system. Mm. This is what's really, really scary. I watch Trump on a regular basis. I'm confused. I laugh. I cry. But it will be over soon.
Right.
Okay? Everybody relax. How many presidents have you been through, Don? How many have I been through?
Yep.
We'll make it.
Yep.
But in their demand and their charge to delegitimize and upturn the 2016 election, they're going to destroy the entire system. And they're destroying the confidence people have in the system. I mean, for an anarchist, this is a wet dream.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you've got so many things that are happening at the same time that this is happening. You've got numbers of people that just have clearly no confidence whatsoever in the institutions anymore. The media polls, you know, in single low double digits in terms of favorability, you know, as they talk about how poorly Trump is polling, they themselves actually poll worse, and they're conducting the polls. Congress, the same, somewhere between 8% and 25%, depending on which poll you see. And, you know, this is happening. Those are, you know, the institutional power of things, you know, your legislature, which is supposed to be the most democratic part of the government. You have the communications, you know, the lifeblood of the republic, so to speak. No one trusts any of that. And then, of course, record unemployment. So the economic system itself, and we've seen the word socialism, whatever it means to the people that are being polled, rising in popularity like it hasn't been since the 1930s in the United States. And yet they're tightening their control over this. I'm watching, there's a movie that was made in April of 2002. There was a coup d'etat that took place in Caracas, as you know, in Venezuela, backed by the United States. And it happened while there happened to be this camera crew inside the presidential palace, who ended up documenting everything with that, you know, presidential palace eye view of this. And you watch what happened since November 8th. It looks exactly the same. Exactly.
Yep. Yep. You know, one thing you said that I get our viewers aware of and crystal clear. Every time the stock market is at record highs, another record high. The stock market has nothing to do with the average person,
right.
Has nothing to do with the average worker. Right. All it tells me is that the financialization of the economy is a full steam ahead.
Continuing apace, yep.
Yeah, continuing the pace here. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and also when you become irrational, you hate blindly. When you have blind hatred, you can't think straight. And this is what the media has done. The attacks, incessant attacks on Trump, and many of them are justified.
Right.
But all they're doing, the media, as being a spokesperson for the deep state and the yep. powers that be, what they're doing is that they're energizing Trump's base.
Yeah.
I mean, I took a look at Matt Taibbi's piece right now in Rolling Stone. He's a very astute political watcher. And he points out that public opinion show that nothing has changed in 1 year, that if the election were held again, Trump would probably win again. Now, see, why is this? It's because of the media and the message about this president. It's not about policy. What they're doing is they're replicating what happened 1 year ago, exactly 1 year ago. And that is very bad for the republic because people are losing, well, they have much faith in politics. Now they're losing all faith in it. Look at this shooting in Las Vegas.
Right.
What the hell happened there?
Right.
We don't know. Then that guy goes on a rampage in that Texas church.
You know what's interesting also? I mean, and this shows that same, you know, lack of confidence in the institutions. There's a shooting here or a shooting there. And as they report it, there are, you know, lots of people, like maybe half the people that you see posting on Facebook or talking at the water cooler or whatever, don't even believe that it happened.
Yep.
It's remarkable that, you know, people now think, well, they never landed on the moon, you know, all these different things. But in other words, even if they saw it in front of them, they wouldn't be sure it wasn't a holograph being projected because they've been so thoroughly lied to.
It's the age of disbelief and anger. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Disbelief and anger. And it's because the narratives that the media is pushing, people, they look at their everyday life. They look out the window. They communicate with their friends, and they're saying, what in the world are they talking about? They're not talking about what's real.
Right.
And this is very dangerous. And to go back where we started, that's why a lot of people watch RT. And as I put on Facebook, you saw it, I said, no one is forced to watch RT. No one.
That's right. You have
it's a choice.
That's right. Unprecedented choice now. You have a million gazillion things you can click on the internet, and people are choosing RT because they hear it and it corresponds to the reality that they're living.
Or they actually see a debate about something.
Right.
It's not so clear cut everything.
Right.
That's what people like.
I mean, this is one of the things I know going on Crosstalk. No one says, okay, Don, what we really need is somebody to bring out this point of view or that point of view or whatever. Now, I know there's an editorial decision somewhere where somebody's saying, on this topic, he's got some pretty good ideas. I've heard him say things, and that one will be interesting because he believes exactly the opposite, and they're both very good. That person is a hothead. They'd be nice to throw in. You know, I'm sure that kind of decision-making goes on everywhere. But nobody's ever said...
That's my calculus all the time.
Yeah, make it interesting.
I look... Yeah, I look at the chemistry. I look at the chemistry of the program.
Right. But no one has ever said to me anything other than, well, we're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton and the election or Steve Bannon or media or whatever. That's as much as they get. I go in, do my thing. It's over. Everybody says thank you. And that's that. That's how much rigid control that, you know, dark hand of the Kremlin has over what goes out over the airwaves.
And if it were done otherwise, Don, all it would take is a few tweets and I'd be toast.
That's right. And not only that, who'd want to watch it?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm very careful about that, because I have to be better than the best to be equal.
That's right. That's right. Yep. All right. Well, you know, meanwhile, in the real world, outside of the media sphere, we had President Trump. He's wrapping up his trip to Asia. Two ships passing in the night, you know, sort of virtual encounter and a handshake with President Putin. President Putin saying, look, I didn't rig your election. Trump saying, you know what, looking at him, it looks like he believes that's true. I'm not saying I don't believe our guys, but whatever. Ain't it really the point that we should have peace between us and get some work done that needs to be done? And they're trashing him here again, of course, for that.
Yeah, well, this is what Barack Obama in his waning days wanted to happen. That was the plan, and it's working. Yeah. Historians will look back upon this as just an absolute travesty, a tragedy that didn't have to happen. No matter what Trump says, they're going to spin it to the way they want. I mean, he's not a gifted speaker. I mean, on policy, let's put it that way. I mean, he knows how to get people riled up. But I watched it, the different segments. There's a really good segment on RT. It's a compilation. And I actually felt sorry for the guy, and I actually agreed with him.
Yeah.
Let's be real, folks. I mean, are you going to – you think someone fiddled with your election, you know, a foreign power, that is not about to be as naive as you can get,
you know.
All right? I mean, do I think that the Russian intelligence services paid a visit to Hillary Clinton's server? Yeah, I think they
probably did.
If the barn door was open, why not?
Well, probably and China's did, Japan's did, Germany's did, maybe some guy out in New Jersey did. Yeah, right.
The Macedonians did.
Yep. That fat guy in mommy's basement that one of them was talking about during the campaign, they were probably looking too. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess a lesson learned, and Tony Podesta, a good password is, well, not password. So, when it comes to, when I look at the Russian reaction to all of this, and Dima Babich really says, and he's on regular on Crosstalk, the Russians will never tire of attempting diplomacy. It's in their genetic code.
Yeah.
Okay. They keep trying. And, you know, Mark Sloboda, we both know Will well and your listeners. Mark's got a guy that says he says you have to give up at a certain point. And that's the kind of a difference between Mark and Dima.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I see every week.
Yep.
The Russians will keep trying. There are too many important things to do.
Yeah. The stakes are very high.
But at the same time, I think they're realist, and it's to minimize the damage. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look. Well, what we're hoping is that there's a catastrophe that people look back at, you know, at the end. That the catastrophe is, gee, we could have had, you know, much better economic conditions or whatever, as opposed to, geez, we wouldn't be living under this radioactive smoldering pile if only we didn't miss that opportunity. And I'm hoping that that's not what we're looking at.
But the sad thing, and it would kind of go full circle to our conversation here, is that as the week moves forward, we know that there'll be further attacks on RT, which, of course, will make the Russian side react, which will, of course, be reported in Western media as Russian aggression in the media sphere now.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, you can't win for losing.
That's right. We just got to keep plugging along and doing what we're doing. And you do a great job, and I'm glad you do.
Yeah, but what they'll do is they're just going to make RT and me and you and everybody else more famous. They don't understand the dynamic of how this works.
Absolutely true. That's right. Peter, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure,
always.
Don. Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.